Our study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12 and verse 13. Discerning the triune Godhead's objective assurances of salvation. 1 John was written to counter heretical views, so the epistle provides discernment. A great need for discernment exists in the realm of gaining assurance of salvation apart from experience. For many people do not have an unusual experience when they trust in Christ, so many doubt that they're saved. What makes matters worse is every now and then an evangelist will come through and he'll say, "Did you really believe or didn't you believe?" And people start thinking, "Oh, I think I did. Did I? Maybe I didn't." And there's a tremendous amount of a lack of assurance as a result of this introspection. And that's because a lot of people are relying on their experience. Did they see a vision? Didn't see a vision. Did they feel better? Did they, you know, suddenly were they happy? Most people, when they accept Christ as their Savior, there's not an immediate buzz or anything like that. Accordingly, we study 1 John 5, 6 to 12, and verse 13 on discerning the triune Godhead's objective assurances of salvation. These are not felt. That surpasses mere human experience as follows. Now, verses 6 to 12 are actually repeat from what we did last time we went through this, but they build up and they set the tone for verse 13, which is extremely important. So let me read those verses again. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record," and then the last part of verse 7 and all of verse 8 are not included in the best manuscripts. "For there are three that bear record," and then verse 8 does not there. Verse 9, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified about his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him into a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know absolutely that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Okay. Very interesting. As we previously noted in 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12, John wrote of the true authoritative testimonies of God the Holy Spirit and God the Father about the Son of God to give believing readers assurances of the truth about Jesus. Now, John had written about the testimony of the Holy Spirit concerning the Lord Jesus in verses 6 through 8. In stating that Christ came not only by water but also by blood, John countered the heretic Cerinthus, who taught that the divine Christ described or descended rather on the man Jesus at his baptism and left him before his crucifixion. The reason Cerinthus believed that is because he knew that God could not die, so it was inconceivable for Jesus to be God and dying at the same time. So he said Jesus ceased to be God at that point. And, of course, John is writing to counter that very, very strongly. However, the Holy Spirit had witnessed by the Old Testament prophets, according to 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, and by John the Baptist, who was the last Old Testament prophet. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 talks about he was going to be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, and John 1, 29 to 34 talked about how the Holy Spirit had ministered to him. That Messiah was God incarnate in life, in death, in his resurrection, and in his coming kingdom. See, in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, talks about, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called the Mighty God, El Gabor." and so forth. But this mighty God in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 11, is crucified, and then he dies, and he makes his grave of the wicked, and then he lives again, even though he had died as an atonement, as a sin offering. And so that means he has to be resurrected again. Well, John the Baptist clearly testified that Jesus was not only the Son of God as to his deity, but that he was also the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world by way of a sacrificial death. In John 1, 29 to 34, he mentioned both of those, that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and he is also the Son of God. And the Son of God, Huios, is a son who's had his bar mitzvah. A son who's had his bar mitzvah in Jewish culture is equal with his father. Jesus was viewed as equal with his father. This is why when God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration said, "This is my beloved Huios, in whom I'm well pleased, hear him. This is my equal." That's a strong argument from God the Father that Jesus is God. And the disciples hear him because what he's saying is the truth. So the historical record of Christ's baptism with the confirmation of the Holy Spirit's coming upon Jesus in the form of a dove, John 1, 32 to 33, coupled with the Spirit's leading John to testify of Jesus' person as the Son of God and the Lamb of God, John 1, 33, Luke 1, 15, they all agreed, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, regarding Christ's deity at his baptism and at his death. Now, the King James, I pointed this out before, the King James words beginning with the phrase in heaven in verse 7 and ending with the phrase in earth in verse 8 are not in any early Greek manuscripts, only in later Latin ones. The Latin manuscripts were copied, they're about the 14th century. They're much, much later than the Greek. So the additions of these were additions by scribes, and they were added them in Latin. And so we don't hold to them as being scripture. God had then written about the testimony of God the Father concerning Christ in 1 John 5, 9 through 12. Now, if Deuteronomy 19, 15 directs that we believe the witness of two or more humans, we must certainly accept the witness of God who is infinitely greater than man's witness. That's 1 John 5, 9. Accordingly, John had written of the witness of God the Father regarding Jesus. And he did this in 1 John 5, 9b to 10. John, Peter, and James had personally heard God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration say of Jesus, "This is my beloved Huios, my beloved adult son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Later in John 12:28, in the King James Version, after Jesus asked, "Father, glorify thy name," in front of Jesus' disciples and a crowd of Hebrews at the Feast of Passover, just before Jesus died on the cross, a voice came from heaven and said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The Father thus said that he had glorified himself in Jesus' life, but he would also do so again in Jesus' death. Very strong implication of his deity then. So these verbal testimonies by God the Father about his Son, Jesus Christ, regarding his life and death, thus not only align with the witness of the Holy Spirit about these things, but to refuse to accept these claims about Christ is to reject God the Father's witness about him. And, of course, that's heavy. Well, since the record that the Holy Spirit and the Father approved includes their sanction of Christ's words as the words of one who is God's Son and hence God, I'm putting John 1:33 with Matthew 17:5 on the Mount of Transfiguration, together with John 5:18, where the Jews took up stones to stone Jesus because he called God his Father, which made him equal with God. The Spirit and the Father approved Christ's claim that God has given us eternal life, that it is in his Son, and that he who has the Son by faith in Christ has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have that life. Now, I'm thinking of John 3:16, which we firmly believe Jesus actually was continuing to quote. That wasn't just John's commentary. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only unique Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the words of Jesus. Those words are therefore sanctioned by the Holy Spirit, and they are sanctioned by God the Father. So, based on these objective testimonies by the triune God, we're talking about God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and the words of God the Son. We who trust in Christ can know absolutely. The Greek word in know here in verse 13 is eidetē. That's the second person. But it comes from oida. Oida is a synonym of gnosko. Gnosko is the word to know by way of experience. You know that the pizza is good when you eat it. Okay, now I know that it's good. But you know absolutely that it's good if somebody else tells you that particular pizza at that particular place is good. This is absolute knowledge. This is not knowledge by experience. This is knowledge because God says so. Based on these objective testimonies by the triune God, we who trust in Christ can know absolutely, oida, that we have eternal life. Now, when God says something, this is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When the triune God says something, regardless how I feel about it, it's true. Okay, whether I feel good or not, whether I had a high mountaintop experience when I accepted Christ or not, if God says it, that's true. So the lesson is, based on the testimonies of God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son, we know absolutely and thus objectively, apart from human experience, that by believing in Christ for salvation, we have eternal life. So may we believe the testimonies of God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son, that apart from human experience, we can know that we are saved and have eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation. I'm thinking of the thief on the cross. We've often referred to him on Good Fridays, and I may even be ministering about that again if I'm going to do it. When the thief on the cross turned to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That was not a mountaintop experience. He was in physical agony with these nails in his hands and his feet. He was having trouble breathing because tetanus had already set in. They had nails were rusted and whatnot. So he was with his feet, which had been very agonizing, but in order to breathe so he could stay alive, just to take a breath just so he could talk. So it wasn't a high experience. And he was also annoyed at the other thief who was bad-mouthing Jesus. And he just corrects that thief, and then he talks to Jesus. He says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus turns to him and says, "Verily or truly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, that thief had to trust that Jesus was going to take him to heaven. But that was tremendous faith on that thief. Remember, Jesus is on a cross. He doesn't look very much like a Messiah on a cross. But he believed that Jesus was going to go into his kingdom. That's tremendous faith. So that man had faith. But even though he didn't feel that good at the time, he was in paradise. And the word paradise is a word that the Jews used for heaven. They had three different words for heaven. But paradise is what they used when they were thinking of returning to the bliss of Eden, which they also, paradise actually means Eden. So they were thinking of, Jesus was telling them, you're going to be in a place of bliss. This is not a place of bliss where you're at, but today you're going to be in a place of bliss. And so that man died in faith that the Lord would take him there. But he died on the words of Jesus. Jesus said it. That settles it. I believe it. And that's what we've got to do. So if you know someone who's having a problem believing that they're saved because they didn't have some sort of a mountaintop experience, or maybe if you've had that type of doubt yourself, remember the words of God the Father, God the Holy Spirit to the Apostle John through the prophets of the Old Testament, the prophecies through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God the Son. The triune God had declares that you believe in Christ as your Savior. You're saved, regardless how you feel about it. And then we have salvation. Praise God.